Matthew 13, and we're going to begin reading at verse 1. Matthew 13, verse 1. It says, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And then them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word this morning. Pray you would empower me to preach your word for your people. Pray you would open our understanding to the scriptures, open our hearts to hear what you would have to speak to us this day and each day, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. During my time of growing up, there was a lot of different times I found that I would be doing something, whether it be reading a book or playing Lego or outside playing, and I would get so focused on what I was doing as a kid that my mom would call me and I wouldn't hear. She'd call three or four times, and of course louder and more frustrated with each time. And then finally, kind of the last time, it's like, oh, I heard her, but it seemed to me that it was just the first time. And it's one of those things. It wasn't that she didn't call loud enough for me to hear. I should have been able to hear, and it wasn't that my ears were full of wax. I was able to hear fine, but I was so focused on what I was doing that I just didn't hear it. It didn't register. And of course, my mom tended to find that hard to believe. And of course, as well, being becoming a parent, it seems I passed down that trait to some of my kids. You're right next to them, and they're like, "What?" They don't seem to see it. But we realize that there's times in our life. I think all of us can remember times, perhaps, where we have that, where we can be totally oblivious to something else. Sometimes it can be a blessing. I found that sometimes I'm able to focus on something even when there's other noise, and I can still get stuff done. But in other times, it's kind of a curse, because there's things that you should be noticing, should be seeing, and you don't see them until it's too late sometimes. And so the word oblivious, it is a word that is defined as being unmindful, being unaware or unconcerned what is happening around someone, not paying attention or being forgetful. And I think all of us, to a certain extent as humans, recognize that we can be insensitive, we can be lacking in attentiveness and even perception. Things can be going on, we don't even realize it. It's not something we usually intend to manifest either, but sometimes we catch ourselves doing it, and sometimes we see it in others. We can think of maybe individuals we know that they get into a social situation and they make complete jerks of themselves, and then when they're kind of outcast socially, that nobody really wants to be with them, they wonder, well, what is everyone else's problem? What did I do? And everybody else must have the problem, and not realizing, well, no, there's things that they're doing that's just not the way that should be done. And of course, sometimes we can be guilty of it ourselves when we put our foot in our mouth. And I've had that different times where you say something and then you just realize that wasn't the way to say it. I should have just not said it, or that said it differently, because now I'm going to have to kind of scramble to try to set things right again. But this is something that I recognize with myself, and I can't speak for you, but I think for me, I see that this tendency that of being oblivious to things, that it can happen. And my concern with that is that with us, that sometimes when it comes to the most important things, and especially specifically when it comes to spiritual things, that perhaps it can be very easily for us to become oblivious to them. That it's not what we want, but it can happen. There are so many other things going on in our world today that it's very easy for us to become distracted. We have many cares of this world, many concerns that we have just of living. I know we got a book. Haven't had a chance to sit down and read it, unfortunately. It's called Simple Living, and I think that's something that we desire to have, but we want to make our lives simpler, but it's trying to actually do that is a challenge. We have different commitments, and then there's all things, even you think of all the technology we have of cell phones and email and other things. I remember seeing this cartoon recently where this guy had to, I think he was focusing on doing his taxes or something like that. He was on his computer, and then up popped up that he had mail, and so he checked it out, and there was a link, and so he read this article, and he thought, oh, there's a video, so I'll look at the video, and he says, oh, that's interesting, and so he Googled things, and so it was about a half hour later, and he's like, oh, well, I guess I gotta focus, and he gets focused, then all of a sudden, bing, oh, I got mail again, and so he was back again and again, and he never did get to what he was wanting to do. And so we realize that there's many distractions, things that get in our way. And I remember this one, it was saying, I'm not sure who it was, but it was like a martial arts instructor. One of the things that he taught his students was that a man distracted is a man defeated. And we can think of that when you're fighting someone. If you can distract someone, then you can get an advantage over them. But I certainly think in the spiritual realm that if the devil is able to distract us, it's very easy for him to defeat us. If we're not paying attention, if we get off the wrong track, we can get in a lot of trouble. And we think of it that there's so much other things going on. And from the scriptures, we see in the Old Testament of how it speaks the Lord is that he, when he was before Elijah, that he had a great fire, and there was a great earthquake, and there was a great wind. With either of those, the Lord was not in those. But then it said, after those things, there was a still, small voice. And that's how the Lord seems to speak, is in a still, small voice. And I fear that with all these other things that we have in our life, that the voice of the Lord that's calling to us can get drowned out. And we see it with Jesus here in this parable, that he's speaking, that he's, and this is one that we've looked at before, but what I want to emphasize is just the idea behind it, kind of the overall, if there was like one point that he was trying to teach in this parable. We see in verse 9 where it says, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. That the idea of the seed is given, and it's what is the response to that. And those that had ears to hear, let them take it in. And he spoke in verse 15 of the generation of that time. It says, excuse me, Verse 15, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. And there, I think what is true of that generation can very much, we could say, is true of our generation as well. That we hear something, but we don't understand it. Different times, say if you're listening to a radio station and you're traveling a distance and it starts to kind of fade out, you're hearing it, but it's not making any sense. It's just starting to get static. Or even sometimes I know with my kids that it's like Caleb will say something and I'll hear it fine, but I don't understand what he's saying, so I have to have him say it two or three times before I get the gist of it sometimes. And that's sometimes what happens, that we can hear things, they come in, but we don't really understand. We can see things, but we don't really perceive them. I haven't seen, they were quite a fad some time ago, they've kind of faded a bit. I don't know if any of you remember those 3D puzzles, like you'd have them sometimes, like you could buy them as a frame thing, or they're in the papers where you're like, you're supposed to kind of hold it close to you and then kind of squint your eyes a certain way and then pull it back and you're supposed to see an image and like you can look at it for, or at least I thought I could look at it for a long time and you still couldn't see whatever it was that was supposed to be there. And that's sometimes I think what kind of that sense with many things, that we can see things going on around us, but we don't recognize the significance of them. And so we want to understand that there's things God wants us to take in, to understand. I kind of think of it that like those 3D puzzles, that they were kind of a complicated thing, but I think a lot of what the Lord wants to show us is really not that complicated. There isn't this whole process of kind of crossing your eyes and doing all these other things to get to know what the Lord wants to see us. I think in many ways, things are a lot clearer than we think they are, but we're not seeing that. And we see this parable hearing, that it's how we respond to what we have been given, that we receive seed, the seed is the word of God, and it's how we respond to it that determines our fruitfulness as believers. Luke, in his recording of the same parable, he concludes it with the words of the Lord. This is Luke 8, verse 18, where he says, "Take heed therefore how ye hear, for whatsoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have." And so we want to take heed how we hear, that we don't just want to have it kind of brought into our mind, but it doesn't affect us, it doesn't cause us to change. And we think of that if we don't hear as we should, if we're oblivious to things that are important, we're going to miss out on fruitfulness in our lives, what the Lord wants to do in our lives. We're also going to miss out on different blessings that He wants to give us. A passage we read at the beginning this morning, Psalm 81, where He says, "Oh, if my people had just hearkened unto me," that there is so much that He wanted to give them. He wanted to subdue their enemies. He wanted to bless them. He wanted to feed them with the finest of the wheat, or finest of the wheat, and with the honey out of the rock. He wanted to satisfy them. That there's a lot of blessings that the Lord wants to speak to us, the things He wants us to experience and be blessed by. And if we're not in tune with Him, we can miss that. And I think all of us don't want to miss those things. Just to think that there's just such a realm of things out there that the Lord wants to share with us, wants to bless us with, wants us to be fruitful in. And I don't think we want to miss any of those. We want to be tuned into Him so we can see that. And as I look in the Scriptures, I see two specific areas in which we need to be concerned with as believers. First is we do not want to be oblivious to the work of God within us. We recognize that since our time when we trusted in Christ as Savior, that God has begun a work in us. And it says, Philippians 1, verse 6, He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. It's a work that He started. It's a work that He's going to continue till we meet Him in glory. So He's molding us. He's transforming us. He's perfecting us, making us into His image. And He's going to use circumstances to do that, that everything happens to us for a reason, that He's going to have things happen and we're not going to understand why. But if we get the sense, well, He's trying to mold me, He's trying to shape me, this is for my good, for my benefit. He wants to help me, even if it's a matter of helping me to go through this situation so that I can minister to someone else who's going to go through the same situation down the road, that he has this purpose in it. But if we're not aware of His working, if we're oblivious to His plan and purpose, when things happen and we don't understand, we can get frustrated with them. We can fret over things. And sometimes we find when we wander away from the Lord, we receive chastening from the Lord, but we don't even, if we're not paying attention, we don't, may not even recognize it as such. We're going through Isaiah chapter 1 last week, and we see that with Judah and Jerusalem, that He was speaking to them, that it was like He'd been chasing them. This is verse 5 of Isaiah chapter 1. It says, Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. Verse 7 says, Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land strangers devoured in your presence. And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. That it was something as a nation they should have clued in, that the Lord had prophesied in Deuteronomy that if they were to follow the Lord, that these blessings would come upon them as a nation. And if they did not follow the Lord, then there would be curses that would come upon them. And they should have seen, well, these are exactly what the Lord said would happen, that He's fulfilling the contract to the letter, just as He said, but yet they weren't seeing it. And so I know that none of us want to be in that situation where the Lord's chasing us and we're being slow learners. I think our desire is that we get it right away when we actually would hope that we would avoid the chastening by staying close to Him and getting back on the right track immediately. So we think of that. And of course, the Holy Spirit is residing within us. He's working within us, trying to draw us toward the Lord, trying to change what needs to be changed within us. And we do not want to be grieving Him or quenching Him. We want to be sensitive and attentive to Him. And if there's anything in our life that gets too busy, we want to put in its place. We want to shut it out so that we can hear Him. Our time that we spend in the Word each day, that we want to hear God speak to us. And I think each day that the Lord desires to speak to us, give us something to keep us going for the day, some kind of even just a verse or a phrase that we can mull over, we can meditate upon, and it can strengthen us through the day. As well in our prayers, that as we pray unto Him, I think sometimes as we learn to pray, one of our greatest problems in our prayers, our private prayers, is that we spend all the time talking, and that a lot of times we need to spend a bit of time listening as well. Because it is to be a communication with us and the Lord, that there's things that He wants to speak to us through. And that's kind of as we pray, we should have the Word with us in some ways, that the Lord can show us what He wants us to learn. That's what we want to do, that we know that there's things that we're not getting, things that we're not seeing, and we want Him to illuminate us. We want Him to show us the truth. And we want to take time to have at least a bit of time of stillness in our life so that we could hear Him speak to our hearts in His still, small voice. And the thing is that we want to realize that He is speaking to us, and sometimes what our problem is we're not listening, and we need to Even in our prayers, we need to ask the Lord that He would open our ears, that we would not be dull of hearing. That's a tendency of our generation, but we do not want to be conformed to this world. We want to be transformed. We see in Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 4, it says, "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned." And that is what we desire, that the Lord would open our ears. But then we see verse 5 as well. It says, "The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back." And that's what we want to recognize, is we want to have our ears open and we want to be prepared to heed what He says, even though it might rub us the wrong way, even though it might make us uncomfortable. We realize that if He's speaking to us, it's something important, something that is for our good, and we want to heed it. We want to have it come to pass in our life. We see in James chapter 1 and verse 22 that He speaks to us saying, "Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." And I think in this case, if we're hearers and not doers as well, that we are oblivious, but it's not that we haven't seen it, but we're forgetful. We're not seeing what we should. And it says, verse 25, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." And that's what we want, to be a doer of the work, that our disobedience will dull our hearing. But if we're not following the Lord bit by bit, if we're not walking in fellowship with Him, not walking in the light, that darkness will begin to descend upon us. A dullness will come upon our hearing, and it'll be to our detriment. And we actually find in the Scriptures as well that if our hearing becomes dull to what the Lord is speaking to us, then God's hearing of our prayers will start to be dulled as well. Zechariah 7 and verse 11, it speaks of this. Zechariah 7 verse 11 says, "But they refused to hearken, and pulled away the shoulder, and stopped their ears that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts has sent in His Spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it has come to pass that as He cried and they would not hear, so they cried and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts." And I think for all of us that is a fearful thing, that the thought that we would be so oblivious to the Lord, so not hearing Him, that at a certain point He would stop hearing us. And we don't want that. We want to have that closeness to Him. We know how much we need Him. And so as He speaks unto us, we have ears to hear, so that we can receive the blessings He wants to give us. So we think of it that we want to be wary that we're not oblivious of the working of God within us. But I think secondly, we do not want to be oblivious to the working of God around us. We realize God is doing a work throughout this world, drawing men unto Himself. And we think even in our community here that there is much that He wants to do within this community. There are many people that are burdened down with sin, with sorrow. Their families are disintegrating. There's young people that trying to find what to do with their lives, don't really have a purpose. Some are contemplating suicide. It's actually interesting. Learned with the crisis center in town here that each month lately has been kind of the biggest month on record for client calls, and they kind of think, well, next month it's going to slow down a little bit, it's not going to be so crazy, and then they find, no, it's even more than it was before. So we know that there's a lot of people that are struggling, that are looking for help, and we realize God knows and sees these people. He wants to help them, and I think as His people, He wants us to be a part of His great work of redemption. And I think all of us, we want to see people saved, we want to see lives and families rescued, and we want to be a part of that. In whatever facet that we can, we want to be able to help, but yet we don't know what to do. And I don't think there's any lack of opportunity to minister to others, but the necessity for us is to be in tune with God and with others so that He can lead us to people and that we can be enabled to have God minister to us or to that person through us. And just a picture I want, or a thought I want you to leave you with in this is that you can think of it that there's people on the street as we drive by, people in homes around us that they're struggling, they're having real trouble. But as we drive by, we're completely oblivious to it. We don't know it. And of course, we don't have X-ray vision. We can't see what's going on. And some people are really good at kind of hiding that. But I think often we can be very busy with errands and other things that if it was kind of in front of us, it would be hard for us to see it. And we want to be in a position or be able to take the time to minister to someone if the Lord did show us, let alone we want to be in a position that we can hear His direction in this. I reminded of the verse in Lamentations that Jeremiah spoke. He said, "Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by?" That he was in Jerusalem, well, what was left of Jerusalem. He was sitting there mourning, and people passed by and they didn't recognize his sorrow. And I think sometimes that's what there's people around us that we're passing by and we don't realize and we don't want to. And so we need to become more sensitive to God and more sensitive to others. That when we are close to Him, he can make it very plain. We think of with Philip, where he was led of the Lord into Gaza, and as the chariot approached, he said, draw near to this man, and he was able to share the gospel with him. And we recognize that when we are close to someone, that communication becomes very easy, and that's what we desire, that the Lord can speak to us and we'll understand it and be able to respond practically and properly. I remember when a time working with my dad, we spent quite a few years working together, and we had quite a good relationship with it, that we'd worked together enough that we kind of knew what each other were thinking, and so we hardly would have to talk during time of work because we knew what to do, and we just kind of sort of grunted each other almost. But I remember we had this one guy that was working with us the one time, and I was using tin snips, and I put them somewhere else, and I looked, and Dad was looking for the tin snips, and so he says, "Where are?" And that's all he got out, and I said, "Well, they're over there." And the guy next to us, he's like, "Well, how did you even know what he was going to say?" But that's the thing, that when we have a closeness to someone, we can communicate very easily. And that's what we desire to have with the Lord, so that we can know His desires, that when He speaks to us, we can hear it. And we want to have an awareness and sensitivity and a closeness to others, that we can sense what's going on, and when they're struggling, that we can try to help them. You think of Sherlock Holmes. Of course, he was a fictitious character, but there was always, he was brought in where there were these crimes, these mysteries that no one could solve, that people had looked over all the evidence and they couldn't make heads or tails out of it. It was just unsolvable. But then Sherlock Holmes would be able to come in and he would be able to find what the solution was, who was guilty. And how was it that he was able to do that? It was because he could take notice of the details. He could see little things that people had overlooked, that and that gave the solution, that he saw what everyone missed. And that's something that we want to do, that we want to have a sensitivity to other people, even understanding a bit of body language and struggles of people. And it's not that we're trying to creep someone out where we're staring at them trying to figure out what's going on in their head. It's just, having a closeness to the Lord, a readiness to be used of the Lord, and that if there is someone that's hurting or struggling, that we're not oblivious to it, but that we can minister to them. Because really, when someone's really going through some difficulty, even though they may try to hide it, usually they can't. And sometimes it can just be, say if there's someone, cashier at a till or something, that we can sense something, that maybe just a word in season can make a great difference to them. And so we want to be aware of this. Think of, we can sometimes think there's no opportunities, but perhaps there's been many opportunities we've been oblivious to. And so we want to listen to the Lord. We want to listen to other people and learn to be a good listener. That we don't, when we're in a conversation with someone else, that we don't try to do all the talking, but instead we ask questions. We want to see what's true. And so in this, we want to be attentive, both for their sake and for our own sake. We see in Proverbs 21, verse 23, the principle is given. It says, Proverbs 21, in verse 23, it says, that doesn't seem to be the right one. The one that I'm looking for, it where it says that he that stoppeth his ear at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself and shall not be heard. That we don't want that to be the case, where there's someone that is in need and we're not hearing them. I don't think it's something that we definitely don't ever want to deliberately shut our ears to the cry of the poor, but if the fact that we're too busy, that someone's crying for help and we're oblivious to their need, that we don't want that to be the case. And so we need the Lord's help to open our ears, open our awareness, so that we can see that the fields are white under harvest, see that there's so many people that are needing help, and the Lord's wanting to use us to be a part of His work to minister to that person. But we must have that awareness, that the ears to hear, so that we can see these opportunities the Lord gives us. And so it is something, as we think of these things, I recognize myself that I've definitely been guilty of this different times, and I definitely don't want to be guilty of it anymore. And I think all of us would agree with that, that we want to allow Him to work in us. We want Him to allow Him to work through us. We don't want to be oblivious to His working in us, His working in others. We want to have ears that are open so that He can bless us, that we can be fruitful, and that we can make a difference in other people's lives. And so may the Lord help us that we would not be oblivious, but that we would be attentive to the Lord and to the work that He desires to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You again for Your word, Lord. We realize just how much You speak to us, Lord, and we don't hear it, Lord, or we're too busy to really take it in and have it do the work in us that it should. We just pray You would help us, Lord, that You would minister to us, that we would have ears to hear, that You would make a real difference in our lives, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to number 438. We'll stand as we sing number 438, Footsteps of Jesus, hymn 438.